Presenting Hop Harrigan, America's ace of the airwaves.
CX-4 calling control tower. CX-4 calling control tower. Standing by.
Control tower, back to CX-4. Wind southeast. Ceiling 1200. All clear.
Okay, this is Hop Harrigan coming in.
Yes, it's America's ace of the airways. Coming in for another transcribed episode in the adventures of Hop Harrigan. And this is Glenn Riggs coming in to ask a question. What does a young boy do when he gets lost? Usually he hollers for help and someone finds him and leads him home. Well, that's what happened recently to a light airplane flying over Cleveland. Patrick Anderson was returning after dark from Youngstown in his Aronca. He got confused by the city's lights and first landed at the lakefront airstrip. He then asked the Cleveland Airport tower for compass directions and took off. But sometime later, Anderson again radioed the tower. He still was lost. Well, at that point, Captain Harry Bitterman, pilot of a United Airlines plane, heard of Anderson's predicament and promised to keep a lookout for him when he took off from Cleveland for Chicago. A short time out, Captain Bitterman radioed the tower that he spotted a small plane. And the tower told Anderson to blink the lights of his Aronca. He did that, and the airline pilot recognized the ship. Then Anderson was told to follow the United plane back to Cleveland. A few minutes later, the big mainliner crossed over the airfield with a tiny Aronca following close behind, safe at home at last. And say, gang, here's another out-of-the-ordinary aviation item. Did you know that the foggiest airport in the country, the one at Arcata, California, has been approved by the Civil Aeronautics Administration for landings under almost any weather conditions? Sounds a little fantastic, but there's a good reason for it. The Arcata Field is an experimental station where nearly all the known fog-eliminating devices are being tested. I've got some more interesting aviation stories, and I'll be back to tell them at the end of the program, so don't forget to listen. And now to our story. Hop and Tank have discovered that Dixie Davenport has withdrawn $50,000 from her Los Angeles bank, which she planned to deposit in a small bank in the desert town of Barstow. Fearing that Tex Regan, the man they are certain kidnapped her horse, Sequoia, would somehow double-cross her, the boys headed for Barstow in their plane. But, as you recall, they were intercepted en route by Dixie's own plane, a reconverted C-47, obviously piloted by Joe Bell, Dixie's pilot. The twin-engine transport roared down on the Beechcraft, and a machine gun suddenly opened up. Burst after burst poured into their plane, and before Hop could maneuver out of the trap, the Beech whipped over on one wing, corkscrewing earthward in an uncontrollable spin.
Pull her out, Hop! Pull her out! I don't think I can! The rudder pedals don't answer! Oh, my gosh! Maybe I can level it with my ailerons and the trim tabs and move fast. The ground's coming off the float!
Here goes!
Come on, baby! Come on!
Give her more power!
She's easing off!
Good!
That's it, baby! Okay, made it.
Yeah, but now we're diving. We got less than 1,000 feet.
Brace yourself and pray the wings don't come off.
Baby, please hold together. Don't pull apart on us now.
Here we go. Tank, we're level.
I can't believe it.
Now we'll have to sit down fast.
Sit down? There ain't nothing but hills under us.
I think I see open ground through that pass.
Ain't got any rudder.
I know it.
Oh, I can't look.
Tank, keep your eyes open and watch for the C-47.
Hop, Joe Bell's coming down to get after us.
If we can get through that pass, he won't be able to follow.
Throttle wide open.
In the slot.
Gosh, if he starts with that Tommy gun now, he'll get us good.
Almost to the pass. Stand by.
There's no crowd in our tail. Why don't he open up?
Don't ask for it.
Okay, going through. Wow, he pulled up.
He had to. Now, yeah, look, Tank, I was right. There is open ground. That field ahead is as smooth as a billiard table.
Something's working our way for a change.
Okay, we're through the pass. I'm going in. Give me wheels and flaps.
Land it downwind.
There's enough room, and I don't want to chance any turns without a rudder.
Okay, wheels down. Flaps 20.
Check. Stand by.
I wonder where the C-47 is.
Watch for it. Flying in.
Make it good. Brother, we sure are landing high.
We'll be all right. We'll take a long rollout. hope we don't run into no ditches.
We want it smooth and level.
There. Everything's under control now.
Wow. Never thought we'd make it.
I'll taxi you over to that clump of trees in case. In case of what? Another surprise visit. The trees will give us some cover.
I don't see the transport. Oh, yes, I do. He's coming over the hills.
I thought so. He's looking for us. Now, this is about as far as we can go. Pilot.
He's cutting west.
Now, keep back.
Still holding course. Ain't turning any.
Good.
Then we're okay.
Now wait a minute. He's climbing.
He has to if he's going to clear that other range of hills.
Maybe he'll turn back.
No, he ain't. He's going right over. Whoopee.
Ooh, that's a relief. Now let's see what shape the beach is in.
Boy, look at them wings. The bottom one on this side especially. It's like a soup strainer.
No structural damage, though. I want to see the rudder. Come on.
If it's shot up bad, we'll have a sweet time getting out of here.
But, Tank, look. It's hardly been scratched.
Then what?
Oh, here. The rudder cable. One of the slugs must have nicked it and gave way. Can you fix it?
Sure. There's some spare cable in the toolkit. Give me 15 minutes and the rudder will be good as new.
Swell. We've got to reach that bank in Barstow before Dixie leaves.
So, in a matter of seconds, Tank is splicing on a new rudder cable. Pop, meanwhile, keeps careful watch on the sky above, fearing the return of Joe Bell in the C-47. But there's no further interruption, and Tank completes his task in less than the promised time. A half hour later, they circle the small private field at Barstow and, landing quickly, proceed to the bank.
Hey, look, Hop. There's Dixie's convertible parked right in front of the bank.
Thank goodness she's still here. Step it up.
We going in?
Of course.
What if she sees us?
We'll do our best to keep out of sight. Here's the entrance. Keep your eyes open for her.
Check.
See her?
No.
Walk forward. Over to that desk.
I don't think she's here, Hop. I don't see her.
Keep going.
But what'll we do?
Take it easy. Now, take a deposit slip and a pen. Make believe you're filling it out.
Oh, why all the hocus pocus? Dixie ain't here, I tell you.
She must be, or her car wouldn't be parked outside.
Maybe she crawled under a desk.
Don't be funny. This is a small bank. They don't handle sums like $50,000 every day. She wouldn't be dealing with the tellers.
Who then?
Hey, move over to that door marked private. Take the pen and the deposit slip with you. There's a desk there.
Hey, look, they're going to start to get suspicious soon, and before you know it, they'll call the cops.
Do as I say.
Hey, who's that?
The president of the bank. That's his office. We can hear him through the transom. Hold up.
Shall we say, unusual fashion?
I realize that, sir, but...
Jumping Jennies, it's Dixie.
Now, why don't you shout it from the rooftops?
You wish to deposit this certified check for $50,000 in our bank.
That's right. Yes. And you're to give the money, the entire amount, to anyone who presents this letter.
May I see the letter, please?
Certainly.
Hey, what's going on, Hop?
Dixie's playing this smarter than I thought she would.
Now, what's to prevent this letter falling into the hands of an unauthorized person, Miss Davenport?
If it does, I'll be out $50,000.
Wouldn't it be far safer for you to give us the name of the individual who will call for the money so that we can insist by identification?
I don't know his name.
You mean to tell me, Miss Davenport, you're entrusting that amount of money to a person whose name you don't know? I advise against it. I advise very strongly against it.
Good for you.
I can't help myself. It must be done this way.
Would you care to tell me why?
I'm sorry, sir. I can't tell you. But take my word for it.
Miss Davenport, please don't think it presumptuous of me, but is someone forcing you to pay this money?
Hey, that guy's right on the beam. Hey,
I can't answer that question.
Obviously, someone is. My advice to you, Miss Davenport, is not to pay it.
It must be paid to whoever presents that letter.
But suppose a copy is made and your signature forged.
If you sign the letter, endorse it, that possibility will be eliminated.
Very well, Miss Davenport. But I'm doing this against my better judgment. Here you are. This letter will be honored as a withdrawal draft in the amount of $50,000 to be paid to Bella.
Oh, thank you, sir. And now, if you'll excuse me, I must rush.
Of course. Permit me to...
Tank, she's coming out.
Jennies, let's beat it.
It's too late. Turn around, concentrate on this paper, and don't move.
Hunched over the high desk, literally frozen, Pop and Tank wait anxiously as Dixie Davenport and the president of the bank stand within arm's length. Will she recognize them? And if she does, what then? Well, we'll know in a moment, gang, so stand by. Most of you have probably taken auto trips at one time or another. If you have, you'll recall that many of the roads, even those out in the country, are lined with billboards advertising everything from soup to nuts. Up to now, airplane passengers and pilots didn't have billboards staring them in the face. But that may all change if a new Boston company makes a go of its new product. They're experimenting with billboards for flyers. The company surveys the territory in which an advertiser is interested. Then it designs and supervises construction of government-approved air markers. Federal regulations say that 20% of the area of those air markers can be used for advertising. The markers can be painted rooftops, or they may take the form of landscaping, using crushed stones for lettering. So if you take a plane trip in the future, don't be too surprised when you look down on a peaceful countryside and see a giant sign that might read, Podunk Airport, 1 mile, eat at Harry's Place. One survey already made shows there's a potential readership of better than 1 million in scheduled transport flights between Boston and New York. Here's another story, all tied up with the air age. One college is making sure that high school students don't get ahead of their teachers when it comes to information on the air age. The University of Illinois has started a course in flying for all people who want to be high school teachers. About 75 students now are getting their first instruction on what high school teachers should know about flying so that they'll be able to answer the questions of their teenage students. Well, that's just another sign that the age of aviation is coming into its own. A career in the air is all yours for the asking, if you're well prepared for it. So always remember, America needs flyers. And now back to our story. On reaching the bank in Barstow, Hop and Tank stood outside the door of the bank president's office and, through the transom, overheard the arrangements Dixie Davenport made for the payment of $50,000. But before they could get away, Dixie walked to the door, opened it, and came out.
Thank you very much, sir. You don't know how much you've helped me.
Glad to be of service, Miss Davenport. Please call on me at any time.
I certainly will. Thank you again and goodbye.
Goodbye. Casey?
Yes, sir?
Escort Miss Davenport to her car, please.
Yes.
Thank you very much.
Phew, that was close. Now, if she'd seen us, Lord knows what would have happened.
Well, come on, we can get out now.
No, wait till she drives away.
Wait, are we going to follow her?
Sure we are, by plane. We'll give her a little head start.
And there she goes.
Yeah, then let's make tracks. Go ahead.
Thanks. Let's see, we'll get to the beach faster if we grab a cab.
I don't see any around.
Hey, watch yourself, there's a car pulling up fast.
Hey, what's he want, the whole street?
Come on down to the corner.
Okay.
Just a minute, partner.
Huh? Tank, it's Regan.
Jumping, Jenny.
They're looking for a lift. I'll be glad to oblige.
Oh, you will, will you?
Watch it, he's got a gun.
I'll say I've got a gun. Now, come on, boys, climb in. You and me are going places.
For a split second, Hop and Tank hesitate, for their first impulse is to try to make a break for it. But as Regan slowly lifts his gun, they give up all thought of escape and climb into his car. Gang, there's plenty of action and excitement ahead, so don't miss the next episode. Tune in and fly with Hop Harrigan, America's ace of the airwaves. So long, Hop. We'll be seeing you same time, same mutual station. Harrigan is a transcribed copyrighted feature appearing in All American Comics magazine and is brought to you Monday through Friday, same time, same mutual station.